This is one of the visions that the prophet Zechariah received. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you place to walk among these who stand here. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are doing wondrous signs. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua. Upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree." Amen.
Yes. Does it work? Yeah. You can hear me? Oh, perfect. Good morning, church. Welcome in this beautiful church that I love with all my heart. And a lot of you know me, but some of you don't. I'm Rian Wesseling. I am 30 years old. I'm very adventurous because I live less than a kilometer from where I was born. I went to the school. I studied in the city. But I think adventure is somewhere else. That's life with Christ. And I just love to live it. Today, like what Koen said, to stand on the stage and give a sermon... it's not my choice. I tried to postpone it and postpone it, or to ignore the invitation to give a sermon, because why would I? But I love swimming. Like, here is the papiermolen. I love to take a dive in the pool. So I see this as taking a dive into the cold water. And I know when you start swimming, you will warm up. And you'll just learn, and I just go all in. That's what I do. This morning we read Zechariah 3. Zechariah 3 is... Zechariah was born in Babylon. The Israelites have been in exile for 70 years. Jeremiah already foretold it, that there would be an exile because of people walking evil ways. So God sent them to Babylon, and there they were for 70 years. Zechariah came out of a family of priests, and he, together with his family, he returned to Jerusalem. Thank you. There he received the words that are written in this book. The book is set after the return of the exiles from Babylon to Jerusalem, 520 years before Christ. The return to Jerusalem is hard for the exiles. They wanted to rebuild a temple. They wanted to invite God's glory to come in their midst. But there was pushback from the people around them. Then Zechariah receives 8 visions in one night. It's kind of all over the place. When you read the book of Zechariah, you think like, what is this about? So I love the Bible Project. They helped me, and a lot of commentaries that Katie sent me. So it's amazing to have all these resources. But he receives 8 visions in one night. It's a crazy ride for him. The first 3 visions show Zechariah that God will show his mercy to his people. They can rebuild the temple. He will take his place, and prosperity will come. Then Zechariah 3, this chapter, we see that Zechariah has, in his dream, he sees Joshua, the high priest, standing in front of the angel of the Lord. And next to him, he sees Satan. And Satan is there to accuse Joshua. Joshua, who represents all of the people of Israel. Who is this angel of the Lord? I believe that this angel of the Lord is Jesus himself. The pre-incarnated Christ. I know it. So he's standing in front of Jesus himself. And Satan is there too. Satan is there to accuse Joshua and all its people of all the sins. Joshua isn't worthy standing in the house of God. He wears filthy garments. Not just filthy. It's vomit. It's human excrement. It's disgusting. It's smelly. Joshua is standing in the courtroom in the house of God, filthy. We just sang about Jesus in his beautiful clothes, in his white robes. But what we see here is someone standing in his poopy clothes in front of the highest King of Kings. How dares he to go into the house of God? Joshua is representing the people of God. As a high priest, he is supposed to be without fault, without any handicap. He cannot have a disfigure. Because priests are the people who bring God's presence to the people of Israel. Priests are there to bring God's glory and to sacrifice for our sins, to make a way for us to meet our Father in heaven. So the temple service couldn't continue because the people of God weren't worthy. Even the 70 years of exile didn't pay the price. It didn't pay the price to meet God the Father again. So in the courtroom, Satan is accusing God. He's accusing us. He shows us all the areas we don't measure up. He knows exactly when we make our mistakes, when we have, when we are egocentric and go for our own benefit instead of serving another, when we fall back into an addiction, when we fill ourselves with something else but God. Satan knows exactly what it is and he points it out. He makes sure there's no chance he will let slip to let us know how unworthy we are. But wait, what is Jesus doing here? He rebukes Satan. He put Satan into his place. Jesus has saved his people from the fire, from the exile. He is a gracious God. What Satan is doing here is telling half-truths. He leaves the grace of God out of the story. That is why God rebukes him. God has a purpose for his people. He has a purpose for us. He saved us for something. And then he's doing something beautiful. Jesus gives Joshua a new garment. He tells Joshua to take off his filthy clothes. And he says, "See, I have taken away your sin, your iniquity, and I will put fine garments on you." Isn't that amazing? What is happening here? It's crazy. Joshua hasn't spoken a single word. He hasn't done a thing. He knows Satan is right, but it is the grace of Jesus that covers all our sin. Jesus rules on the highest throne, the throne of grace and love. and a throne of justice and holiness. Jesus himself decides to give Joshua new clothes. And through Joshua, he makes the people of Israel clean. The vision continues in verse 8. And we see that that Zechariah gets a look into the future. And the Lord says to him that he is going to bring his servant the branch. The Messiah is coming. The Messianic kingdom is on its way. Jesus will remove the sin of his people in one single day. Jesus is the ultimate high priest. Jesus brings God's presence into this world. And now we celebrated communion today. He saved us from the fire. We know we now are welcome in God's house to love him freely, to live in freedom. When God looks at us, he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus' blood. Justice has been done through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. I am so amazed that like 500 years before Christ and 700 years before Christ, in all these prophecies, you see that it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus coming to this earth. It's about God's love for his people. He pursues us. He wants us. He does everything in his power to reach our hearts with his love. It's so deep, his love. It's so overwhelming. And I cannot, I'm often overwhelmed by it. I don't know how to put words to it. So I don't know if I can give a sermon. Because how are you explaining what this love in your heart is all about? He saved us from half-truths. He saved us from believing lies. And I myself am really easily tricked into the lies of Satan. Because often I know how to serve God. I know how to love him with all my heart. But then still, I make choices that, for example, last year I was too busy. Often I'm too busy. And every single minute I was free, I had a podcast on my head. Because I wanted to keep up with politics. I wanted to hear all these murder podcasts. And I just love to listen to all these stories. But then all this noise from the world is coming in all the time. So I don't take rest. Sabbath? I need to practice a Sabbath. It's not something that's in my routine yet. And when I don't listen to God speaking in my life, when I don't focus on Jesus, just one day of the week to receive his love for me, I'm going to work myself. It's really easy to go and work yourself. And I'm going to start believe half-truths. I'm not good enough. I should do better. You know how you should live. And then it's such a blessing that there are people around me, people who love me, people who I love, who are like priests to me. In this church, outside of this church, or on pilgrimage walks, people speaking truth into my life. I need that so badly. Other people speaking God's truth over me. We are saved from lies. We are saved from half-truths. We are not filthy anymore. Even when you've gone through the worst things in life or things happen to you, don't focus on the dirt. Jesus wants to give you new clothes. He has clothed you in new garments. Don't focus on all these ugly stuff. Joshua didn't have to analyze his whole robe, what everything was and all these things. He was given a new robe. So we are saved from this dirt, from this pointless things. We are saved from emptiness. So in the conversations I have in different places, there's so much emptiness in this world. People searching for something. People in their hearts searching for this one thing that will fix them or something. And in the last few years, I was like, yeah, maybe,
maybe people are happy when they use the drugs all the time, or maybe people are happy when they go to the prostitutes. I cannot tell it because I don't live it, but time and time again, I see there is an emptiness, and I see that things lead to destruction. We are saved from this emptiness. We are saved to speak life into lives of people. We are saved to love fully. It's this love we have here, or when you know Christ, and when you don't know Christ yet, stretch out to this love. There is love. Love that satisfies everything, that satisfies your soul. It is there. I know it, and I believe it, and I live it. And sometimes it's really hard, but it's there. Bring it to the world. Bring this love to the world. Give yourself. Don't hold anything back. Like, don't be afraid that you will lose anything, or don't have enough money, or that you cannot follow your career you would love. Jesus is enough. He's trustworthy. In his prophecies, we see that that he's trustworthy. He said he would come. He said that he will remove all iniquities in one day. And he did. Like, for many years, or 4 years, I've worked in the Overweeghuis, a house for women who get stuck in prostitution. And during COVID, this was actually my church. The place where people think, where the women who think of themselves as dirty, or as don't think highly of themselves, or people walk past, I saw God there. That's where I grew so much. To just be there and see people for who they are, to see how God looks at these women. One day, a woman came home after she's been away for a week, and she went back to her old network, and we warned her, please don't go back. But something was pulling her into this old way of life. And she just didn't know how to deal with I think with the Overweeghuis, with the way we did things without many rules and without many, you have to do this or this, and then you're part of it. No, she was welcome in the house. This one day she came home, and I was in the house. It was, I think, a Saturday afternoon or evening, and no one else was there, and it was sunny. She crashed into the house with all her bags. She lost so much weight. She was beaten, she was abused, she was held against her will. She went to this old network, the only place she knew. And she knew what to expect when she went back there, and still she did. And it's so sad to see that people go back to places that they only know that are bad for them. They go back to the dirt, they go back to the filth, because they feel comfortable there, I think. I don't know. She came back, and then we went to the garden, and she was all over the place. And then she was drunk as well, what was not allowed in the house. But of course, she went through a lot. And then she wanted to take her drugs she had with her. And in the house, you are allowed to take drugs when you're addicted, because you cannot say, like, quit it now and then continue your life. So I was sitting next to her. She was smoking her drugs. And I just felt this immense love. I was like, oh, God, you love her so, so much. And she was sitting there shaking, and she was so ashamed. She was so ashamed. And I was like, why are you ashamed? Like, God loves you. That's the only thing that he's offering you. He just wants to take it all away. But somehow she couldn't get it. She couldn't receive it. She couldn't grasp his love. And I think it's so sad that people think so little of themselves, that the world tells lies to people, and we start to believe it. We start to believe lies of this world, that you're not good enough, or that you're not worth it, or whatever. I just know that God loves us so, so much. And I don't know. We can just trust his promises, stand on his promises. Don't leave anything behind. Just go all in. Go love the people you meet. Just do it. Don't question yourself. God has given us himself. to love others just freely. In verse 10 of Zechariah, it says, "In that day, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit under your vine and fig tree." Fig tree. And I think that's what God does. He invites us to be, he let us invite our neighbors to receive his blessing. The fig tree and vines, they stand for peace, for safety, for prosperity. And I've seen it is in God's presence, it's all there. Fig trees take a long time to grow, to bear fruit. So don't give up easily. Just pursue God. Pursue his love. And let's be priests to one another. Let's encourage one another to keep on going. Let us bring God's presence to one another. Because that's what God has called us to do. So he satisfies our souls. And we sang in the last Open Heaven night, we sang, "You satisfy our souls with your love." And then, "Hallelujah, through trials and testing proves there's gold." There will be trials, there will be testing, but there is gold. Let's aim for the gold. He will turn our mourning into joy. There's so much joy. And we shouldn't just let us distract to other things. The world, the addictions we have, the iniquity. Focus on Jesus and what he has done for us. And his love is enough. It is enough. Yeah, that's my sermon. I'm not long. I don't speak long. So, shall I pray? That's a good idea. I said I didn't have an ending. Yes, Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for who you are. Jesus, you are enough. Jesus, you have saved us from the fire. You have taken us out of the fire and clothed us in new fine linen, new garments. Jesus, I thank you that you rebuked Satan. We don't have to listen to all these lies. We can speak truth in each other's lives. Jesus, I pray that you will fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've given your Spirit to work in us, to give us strength when we feel weak. Thank you that you're inviting us to go all in, to give all of us to you, to worship you, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Thank you that we can follow you in your way. Jesus, we want to glorify you. Thank you that you are trustworthy. You are worthy to be praised. And Holy Spirit, I pray that when we believe lies, when we go back to our filthy selves, or maybe we are still there, we haven't met you yet, I pray, Jesus, that you will come and be this high priest, minister to us. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts, speak your truth.